You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's The David Knight Show.
Military bases put on high alert as FBI hunt missing Saudi servicemen.
As we do in most active shooter investigations, work with the presumption that this was an act of terrorism.
The shooter was a 21-year-old second lieutenant in the Royal Saudi Air Force, Mohammed Saeed Al-Shamrani. He was a naval flight officer in training here.
Now, why are they searching for them? Because they reportedly videotaped the shooting at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, did nothing, attended a viewing party watching mass shootings days before with the individual. And, of course, you know, then they like to put it online to celebrate it and trigger other jihads. But we're being told this is not Islamic attack. He just said he did it for Islam on his Twitter account. You saw the New York Times last week. They had a huge cover story article full of lies, twisting disinformation, saying that I ordered reporters to make up Islamic terror stories. That's not true. In fact, I don't cover this stuff enough. I should cover it more. I have dozens of articles every day of stabbings and truck attacks and shootings and Christian women being kidnapped and put into sex slavery and mass stabbings at London Bridge and attacks at Pensacola. But I promise the New York Times, just for you, seriously, because I've already felt bad about not covering this enough, that you're going to get dedicated Islamic terror coverage. I had a New York Times reporter years ago, you know, threaten me. They said, you know, you really need to drop the attack on Islam and that it's violent and bad. Or, you know, that's one of the big things you're not allowed to do. The establishment's going to come after you because the left is merging with Islam because it's anti-Christian and they love it. And they tell you it doesn't exist, just like black-on-white crime doesn't exist, even though it's 10 times more common and whites are being hunted. And there's all these Hollywood movies about hunting whites because whites are bad and deserve to die. So they tell you there's no black-on-white crime, and there's no child molestation or child kidnapping going on either, and there's no Islamic terror in the world. What a sick group of people. But you know what? Their lies don't work, do they? So let's just get into that Islamic terror doesn't exist.
I think the American people should know what the Saudi involvement in 9/11 was before we commit treasure or, God forbid, American blood to a cause.
Gansey is one of thousands of family members of 9/11 victims suing Saudi Arabia.
There is a special kind of grief when the bravest, most patriotic Americans are putting themselves in harm's way to train people from other countries to be able to protect and defend their own country, and then they kill us for it.
My point is, it looks, from what we're seeing in the public reports, that this looks like something that's terrorism or akin to terrorism.
Military-based shooter assailed U.S. is a nation of evil. And see, the left thinks America's bad and hates us, too, so they like that. They like that whole situation. They agree with that.
What would you do if Donald Trump showed up at the front? Murder him?
I mean, no, he's America's Caesar, except he's a head. So you got to take him down.
If it came down to it and it was a group effort, we'd have to do him like Gaddafi.
If the president showed up to this march, what would you do, sir?
Beat his ass.
Where are the seven other terrorists jailed with London Bridge knife men? They were all released at the same time together after planning these mass terror attacks. And, of course, he went on to kill a bunch of people, but that's okay because he's not Muslim, even though he is. Besides, those Christians deserve it. I mean, they were white. They deserve it to die, right? They're Christian. They deserve to die. I mean, you know, white people are bad, inherently bad. New York Times said so. So there you go. You got your Muslim coverage. You're going to get it a lot more now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The David Knight Show. It's Friday the 13th of December, 2019. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight, What a show I have for you today. Of course, I wanted to spend this Friday going through some of the stories I didn't quite get to this week. I always have excess stories sitting on the desk at the end of the day, and I wanted to do a quick little wrap-up. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, the news doesn't stop, folks. The news doesn't stop, so we have all sorts of brand new information as of today, including the UK election, in which the Conservatives have absolutely dominated. We'll get to that and more. Don't go anywhere.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday, the 13th of December, 2019. My name is Harrison Smith. I'm sitting in for David Knight today. And, you know, it feels a little bit like the end of 2015. It feels a little bit like we're approaching 2016 once again, because once again, we have a bellwether. We have a signal that may precede a massive Republican victory next year in America. That is, in 2015, we had the Brexit election. And the Brexit election, of course, they won, Nigel Farage won the Brexit vote, and it was sort of seen as a sea change, as a massive shift in the UK that had reverberations worldwide. Well, now, as of yesterday, or as of early this morning, the Conservatives in Britain have won an incredible election victory. Boris Johnson set for an 80-seat majority after the election earthquake. He's calling it a new dawn. Boris Johnson hailed the political earthquake that has given him a, quote, mandate to get Brexit done, which is funny because the mandate to get Brexit done should have been the Brexit vote 3 years ago. But now that we've slogged through the bureaucratic morass for 3 years, finally it seems that maybe Brexit might actually be done. The will of the UK people might actually be fulfilled by their so-called leaders. And this is thanks to the overwhelming victory of the Conservatives over the Labour Party, which was, until this morning, headed by Jeremy Corbyn. That's the UK's own little Bernie Sanders over there. This promise of rising to the challenge came with experts forecasting the Conservatives are on track to rack up 365 seats in the first December election for nearly a century, with Labour collapsing to 203, down 59 in 2017. And just to give you television viewers a visual as to what exactly this looks like, Labour did make some gains. And guys, can we pull up that picture? This is from my Twitter at Off Limits News. There are the gains that Labour made. And if you're listening on the radio, it's the entirety of the United Kingdom. And there's there's probably 10,000 counties denominated out there. And there's about two that are red, because those two saw gains in Labour. And of course, they're near the inner city of London. So, collapse, just absolute collapse on the Labour side, absolute destruction of the Labour coalition there. And of course, Jeremy Corbyn has announced this morning that he will quit as leader in the wake of the humiliation, petulantly swiping at disgusting media attacks on him, saying he still believed his hard left platform was popular. It's like they cannot face reality. They literally have blinders on to the reality. It's like, well, if you've lost an absolutely incredible loss, it's just unimaginable. It's an earthquake. It's a new day. The Conservatives have absolutely swept. They have a total majority. And they're like, yeah, but we're pretty sure we're still popular. We're pretty sure we're still the ones that probably should have won. It's like, no, you are insane and delusional and a communist. So goodbye. Farewell. Adios. He still believes his hard left platform is popular, and he's blaming Brexit for preventing normal political debate. However, he'd made clear he'd stay on for a period of reflection while a replacement was selected. Absolutely incredible. So, yes, they do have a total majority. The line that they needed to cross was 325 seats. Well, they came up with 365. Now, how exactly parliamentary elections and governments work, I don't know, and frankly, I don't care. They seem absolutely incapable of reflecting the will of their people, and we've seen that in the way that Brexit has just been absolutely mishandled and miscombobulated throughout the past 3 years. And again, I always talk about this, but there was an article earlier this year when there was debate about who would be the prime minister and who would be selected. And it was all these debates from the conservatives are saying this and the Tories are saying this and the Labour's saying this and all these different people are saying this. And then the last line of the article is like, and then the Queen appointed Boris Johnson. It's like, well, wait, what? So the Queen just decides who the prime minister? I don't know. I don't get how it works. It's all a bunch of British nonsense as far as I'm concerned. But I do understand the major point, which is the British people want Brexit. They're sick of their political elite preventing them from achieving their will, from getting out of the destructive hands of the European Union and declaring independence as a country that they once enjoyed, to take care of their own matters, set their own laws, abide by their own rules, and not be the servants of unelected bureaucrats in Brussels. So this is just a major victory for conservatism worldwide, honestly, and especially there in the UK. And like I said, this may be seen as yet another bellwether predicting in some way the victory that we can expect next year on the Republican side of the ticket here in the U.S. But of course, we can't take that for granted. There is still a hard road to hoe ahead. We do still have a long race to run in the victory of President Trump in the recapturing of the Senate and the Congress on behalf of the Republicans is not a sure thing. So we do have to maintain our vigilance, as it were. But of course, you know, it's like everything's the same. We're just stuck in this Groundhog Day endless cycle of insanity, because here's the story from Infowars.com. Paul Joseph Watson writes, leftists plan to protest against democracy after conservatives win the UK election. Leftist Labour supporters immediately announced plans to protest the result of a democratic election once again after the conservatives swept to a crushing victory in last night's UK election. It doesn't matter how hard you beat them, how savagely you stomp them into the dirt, they will complain that they didn't win, therefore it must be illegitimate. So cry your worthless tears, you big fat babies. We won, and Brexit is going to happen. Now, one of the interesting things to me about Jeremy Corbyn are these claims of anti-Semitism. He's constantly being called an anti-Semite. I'm not exactly sure why they call him that. I know he's anti-Israel in a large way, and I know that that is the way things are going, that if you criticize that country or the leadership of that country, it's seen as somehow an attack on all Jewish people everywhere, which is absurd and ridiculous. So, you know, I don't accept that. I don't accept that Jeremy Corbyn is an anti-Semite, except in the fact, and I read a commenter who said this, and I thought this was just a great way of putting it. Jeremy Corbyn, okay, so typically if you think of anti-Semitism, especially in America or the UK, you think of the other side, you know, the anti-Semites being right wing, you know, white supremacist, super nationalists. And they picture Jews as this, you know, maleficent force that's inside, and they're trying to undermine everything from inside. And it's, you know, they see it as defending the white race and the white nations against this interloper sort of breed. Whereas Jeremy Corbyn's brand is like the complete opposite, where he is a typical anti-white leftist liberal who basically sees, and this was what the commenter said, he sees Jews as, quote, super whites, which I thought was hilarious. He's like, he hates white people so much, and then he sees the Jews as like the super whites, and he sees Israel as like a colonist outpost of the West. And that's why he opposes it. So it's just sort of all insanity and libel thrown around to try to discredit people who might have a more extreme view of the economy or of whatever. But the guy's a communist. Jeremy Corbyn, he's the Bernie Sanders of the UK, which, you know, is even more intense because their conservatives are basically our center right Democrats. So, or center left Democrats, I should say. So defeat of the communist. He has stepped down or will be stepping down, and they'll be getting somebody less insane in the with their foot in the door. And this, yeah, this could be seen as a shot across the bow or just a warning flare for the Democrats that your socialist, communistic policies are not popular, will not win elections, will lead to your own destruction. So, you know, on behalf of Republicans, I say to Democrats, go for it. Appoint Bernie Sanders. Go just full-fledged into socialism. Heck, AOC should be his running mate. We should just go full bore into communism. That's the way the Democrats should go, because that's how you lose elections. So, really great stuff coming out of the UK. We'll get into it more, and a ton of videos on the other side, folks. This will be fun.
I love the winter weather, so the two of us can get together. There's nothing sweeter, finer.
Tis the season, ladies and gentlemen, and you know, I've been saying this for a while. I'll say it again. You know, you have the blue wave. You have a big, exciting, crashing, loud, explosive expression of liberalism and leftism from the socialists here in America. And they had something like that. They had a semblance of a blue wave in 2018. But I'll say it again. I've said it before. The red tide is rising. It's the slower, maybe less explosive, less exciting, even less noticeable sea change that's occurring, but it is occurring nonetheless. And I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing every single day. I've sort of noticed this, you know, really accelerating recently, and it's really been kicked into high gear. The Congress ball was held last night. You had Melania Trump looking like a space princess, absolutely stunning. Trump in a tuxedo, standing next to Pence and the second lady there. And you can just see how happy President Trump is. And he said something like, maybe we can get this clip, guys, but he says something like, you know, it's going to be a great year. Things are really coming together and we're going to have incredible victory next year. And just the way he says it, the joy he has, you can just think back to, you know, maybe the early 80s when he finally got everything in line to build that first skyscraper, to build Trump Tower in New York, and he can see the future and it's all coming together. And I share that sentiment and I agree with him completely. Of course, it's up to us to make sure that we criticize him when he's wrong, criticize the Republicans when they're wrong, celebrate them when they're right, push forward the agenda in an aggressive fashion to combat the civilization-destroying trend of socialism that we find ourselves up against. So it's up to us, and we got to keep the foot on the pedal, keep your eye on the prize, but everything's lining up for just massive, incredible, culture-changing victories. You know, I was going to go to this video from Matt Gaetz from yesterday, the impeachment hearing, but now that I think about this, I was thinking about this last night as I was falling asleep after eating way too much sushi with the InfoWars crew last night to celebrate old Julian moving on to bigger and better things. And of course, we'll miss him like crazy. But I was laying there, stomach full of fish, and I was thinking about, you know, it's so easy to get lost in the minutiae of the day-to-day and to forget just how, there he is, Julian. Julian's moving on. Julian was the latest hire right before I got hired. So he and I joined InfoWars at the same time about 3 years ago. The place was totally different back then. You remember this, Julian? The War Room didn't exist. The David Knight Show didn't exist. This studio really wasn't even a thing yet. It was one studio, you know, the main studio and maybe the little podcast studio. Since then, we've got like, and the 3 to 5, oh my God, the 3 to 5 was so much fun. That's how we sort of, Julian and I trained on the 3 to 5, learning how to run Switcher, learning how to set up the cameras, learning how to work this studio, basically. And we did a little training back when we could go live on YouTube and we'd get, you know, comment pages just full of insane nonsense. Oh, 10,000 viewers every single day at 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. It was such a fun time. And so things have changed and it's gotten even better, even crazier, even bigger, this crew. And Julian's just a rock solid switcher editor. He makes all of the thumbnails for the David Knight Show. But he's moving on to bigger and better things, and God bless him, and we are going to wish him well when he moves on, but he will be missed immensely. And
every night in my dreams, I see.
Stop it. I'm going to cry. And I don't want to cry.
That is how
Julian.
I know you.
Jules. Okay. I'm trying to be serious. I'm talking about history. I'm talking about the arc of humanity and civilization. But this is what it's all about, right? It all comes down to those personal connections, those people, those friends that you know will always have your back and always be by your side. And that's what InfoWars fosters. And honestly, I've never worked in a place that is so much of a family as we here at InfoWars. And so, wherever you are, Julian, my heart goes with you. No, and I know I speak for David as well. I know, he's not here to say it, but Julian will be here next week, so maybe we'll give him a big old send off yesterday. All right, but we're totally distracted, and I really want to talk about this. We had a lovely going away dinner. It's the sushi. It's the I'm all jacked up on fish oil and the good omegas. That was me last night eating all you can eat sushi by the truckload. It was fantastic. So anyway, last night I got home and I was laying there having for the first time ever eaten my full of sushi. I've never been able to eat more sushi than I actually should before, and turns out there's all you can eat sushi place, which is great. So. Anyway, I was thinking about history. I was thinking about the arc of humanity, the way civilizations rise or fall on seemingly the most inconsequential decisions. And you can think back to the 300 at Thermopylae, King Leonidas. If he hadn't made that decision, which was an insane and suicidal decision to make, but if he hadn't made it, the Persians would have overrun Greece and would have destroyed the bedrock, the cradle of civilization as we know it. Western civilization itself would have been stomped out, would have been snuffed out while it was still just an ember before it could alight the world in wisdom and truth, would have been stomped out if that one decision had not been made. If Julius Caesar at some point had been taken down, had, you know, if an arrow shot at him, had been just an inch to the left or the right, and he had not had his massive singular, he was the singular force as the Romans went into Gaul and Romanized all of what is now France and much of what is now Germany and set the stage for the Catholic Church to have these countries as major power points in their rise to dominance. All of these things have influence through history beyond anything that we can comprehend. And I think we need to realize that we're in one of these situations and that the world is not going to end in 12 years, Greta, Alexandria. No, it's not. It's going to go on for thousands of years. And even if there's catastrophe, even if the population reduces, even if the globalists, you know, get their way and suddenly we live in a brave new world, sort of manufactured, mechanized life of systematic death and programmed birth, even in that case, that will fall eventually, and thousands of years from now, we'll look back and we'll say, what if President Trump had gotten impeached? What if that one senator had not gotten those, 100 votes and wasn't in the office at that time to say those things to set the entire course of human history on a different election, on a different path? If Alex Jones wasn't here, didn't do what he did, didn't get on that radio one day in the early 90s and set the path for InfoWars to carve through the mainstream media and establish the path and the bellwether for the rest of alternative media to come after, that allowed Donald Trump to get elected, that allowed America to get that last grasp, that last breath of air before being pulled down to a watery death. What if none of these things had happened and we are in the center, we are in the crucible, and it's an exciting time, and we'll get to more on the other side.
Plant the seed in our home, and boys, let it grow where all can see. Feed it with our devotion, boys, call it the Liberty Tree. It's a tall
Liberty
tree.
It's your move. You're listening to the David Knight Show.
Yes, we are the sons of liberty. Save it from the storm, boys.
Welcome back. back, ladies and gentlemen, to the headquarters of Liberty, the battleship Freedom, as we plow through the waters of misinformation, disinformation, and lies to bring you the truth, unfiltered, unvarnished, unbiased, except with the bias of Liberty. And we were talking last segment about just how much InfoWars has grown in the last few years that myself and Julian have worked here, and just incredible strides that we've made personally, as a company as well. And of course, this has all been in the face of absolute destructive, overwhelming resistance by the most powerful people in the entire world. And that can't be understated. That's how much they fear us. And we also talk about, 300, Leonidas, Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great, these people, individuals or just very small groups of people, less than 200 people at the Alamo, who guaranteed Texas being a free country and provided for Manifest Destiny to be complete across the country and create the USA that we have now. All of these things are incredible, history-changing, epic-making events and individuals. And I'm proud to say that I believe we are involved in that right now. I think everybody listening to this, everybody watching this, as we broadcast over the air, terrestrial radio, or through cable, or streaming over the internet, this is the resistance. This is the modern day Battle of Thermopylae, the hold at the hot gates. And we want you to be a part of it, and we need you to be a part of it. And without you, we would fall. Greece would fall to the Persians. France would fall to the pagans. You know, it's just, this is history in the making, and we invite you to be part of it. And we ask for your help. And here I present a newest call to arms from our fearless leader, Alex Jones.
We live in this system where everybody likes to be a victim and whine and bitch and complain all day and beg for help. Well, I'm not begging for help. If you don't fund the InfoWar, the globalists are going to be able to shut it down. Now, I've got plans and I've got operations I can't reveal here on air, but despite all the deplatforming and all the other attacks that I won't go into, they're going to fail keeping us from having a platform to get the truth out. I've got a whole bunch of irons in the fire, but I don't have the resources to keep this on the air through the election and then launch other lives. It's like a video game where you have your lives, and I'm down to one life. The only way I get more lives is for you to buy the product. So I was walking through the studio on Thursday night, and I was looking at the lights off in here. This is what they want to do. They want to turn the lights off in here because they don't want me to be able to get up here and do a big PowerPoint next week, I'm planning, from mainline science reports about vaccines causing brain damage and infertility by design, just like the fluoride. It's all on purpose. They don't want that because we've defeated their operations so many other times. So it's simple. We have the 12 days of Christmas going, and every day we add another thing that's on sale. Well, right now we've got a big list of things that are on sale, and the big one today and yesterday is going to be Body's Ultimate Turmeric formula. It's got a 95% curcuminoid. Nobody else has that we know of. I mean, there may be some other brand that does it, and we don't know that. In the industry, 5% is the average. Hardly anybody goes above 80%. We've got a 95% curcuminoid. That's what's good in the turmeric. It's so good. It does so many great things. It's 60% off right now. That's very, very close to cost, but we're selling everything out towards the end of the year so that we have money to operate into next year. This is so critical. Plus, everybody needs it. So get it for yourself. Get it for a gift. Now, that was yesterday's special. It's continuing on. Today, because I'm shooting this on Thursday, but today will be tomorrow, Friday, it's Ultra 12, which is the same super high quality, best organic B12 you're going to find out there that we had in Secret 12. Is just when you change the formula, you have to change the name. So it's Ultra 12, the strongest, best you're going to find out there, taken out of the tongue. I don't have time to go into everything that good B12 does, but especially Northern Europeans cannot absorb it normally through the stomach, have all sorts of genetic problems that are triggered by it. But if you're black or you're Chinese, it's still, B12 is so great for everybody. This is the best you're going to find, but especially Northern Europeans, give it a try. It'll blow you away. It's totally natural. It's totally pure. Ultra 12 is 60% off right now. Free shipping store-wide. double Patriot points, InfoWarsStore.com. We've got the Bio PCA. It's very, very popular because it's such a high-quality version of that that's good for your nail, your hair, your skin, everything. That's a big special. We've got a toothpaste combo with both types of our toothpaste for 50% off and a lot more at InfoWarsStore.com. But again, it's you supporting the InfoWar that funds the operation that makes all of this possible, and these are great products. So just do your Christmas shopping with us, and we defeat the globalist and can launch all these operations and kick butt. You notice we've upped our game massively with only 300-something days left after the election. We are fighting hard as an example to everybody. We are doing this together, so thank you so much. Back to the live broadcast with Tom Pappard, Savannah Hernandez, and the rest of the crew on this Friday edition, and then I'll be back this Saturday and Sunday with live and special reports, taking care of some very serious things right now that we're having to deal with, but I'll be back on air, Lord willing, so thank you all again for your prayers, which is paramount, and thank you for remembering InfoWarsStore.com.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen, the leader of the resistance, Alex Jones, speaking the truth from his heart there in that brand new magnificent studio that we have. And yeah, what he's saying is absolutely true. It goes hand in hand with what I was just expressing. And you know, there's something else as that ad was playing, I was sort of going back through this article. Republicans erupt as Nadler suddenly postpones impeachment vote near midnight. And I'll go over this in detail in the next segment, as well as bring you some videos from Matt Gaetz and others from yesterday, and just the I feel like I use the words insanity and absurdity far too much, but that's the way. I don't think I'm to blame for that. I think some other people are to blame for that, the insane and absurd ones. But in this article, it talks about all eyes are on the 31 moderate House Democrats from districts that Trump won in 2016, most of whom have remained mum on how they'll vote, as support for impeachment has flatlined in several battleground state polls. The House is comprised of 431 members, meaning Democrats would only need 217 yays to impeach Trump. There currently have been 233 Democrats, so they could lose only 16 of their own and still impeach the president. And this goes back to what I was talking about, the Battle of Thermopylae, these history-making events. This is one of those. And ladies and gentlemen, you can play a part in deciding the history of the world for the next 10,000 years. You can call your congressman. You can let them know. You can put pressure on them. And if enough people do it, you might actually influence a key vote that might determine whether or not, which road we go down, whether or not President Trump is impeached or allowed to continue to exercise the will of the American people, whether we are thrust into this, you know, civil war making, again, absurd and insane impeachment process, whether that continues, any of this, it's up to you. It's up to you to call these, it's 31 moderate House Democrats. And maybe we'll get a list of those 31 just so you can make sure to know if you're in one of these positions. But even if you're in a far left district, even if you're in a far right district, call your Republican senator and make sure they don't fall for the lies. Make sure they don't cave to the globalist pressure. Do your part and you can make a difference. You can be the voice that convinces the vote that prevents the impeachment of Donald Trump. You can be the one who goes to InfoWars Store and gets us over that point where we can create new shows and create new movements that, again, changes the entire paradigm of American politics and ushers in a new era of freedom and liberty for all. You can do it. All you have to do is pick up that phone and call your congressman. All you have to do is send that email. All you have to do is call into your local radio show. And if you got a little money on the side, or if you're looking for Christmas presents, or if you're trying to set up the new year resolutions as best you can and trying to better yourself in 2020, you can go to InfoWarsStore.com and support everything we do here. We're fighting for history, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 8:47 a.m. Central Standard Time, which means it's 9:47 in Washington, D.C., and in just 13 minutes, the gavel will bang, the votes will begin to be cast, and history itself hinges on the moment. Now, there was supposed to be a vote last night, but Nadler, old gray-skinned Nadler, postponed the impeachment near midnight. Here's the story from Fox News. Gobsmacked Republicans made known their fury and frustration late Thursday as House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler, Democrat from New York, abruptly wrapped up an all-day marathon hearing on the adoption of two articles of impeachment against President Trump by delaying planned votes on the matter until Friday morning. "It is now very late at night," Nadler said shortly before midnight in D.C. Quote, "I want the members on both sides of the aisle to think about what has happened over the last 2 days and to search their consciences before we cast their final vote. Therefore, the committee will now stand in recess until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., at which point I will move to divide the questions so that each of us may have the opportunity to cast up or down votes on each of the articles of impeachment and let history be our judge." History will not just be the judge, ladies and gentlemen. History will hinge on this moment. The path that we go down will be determined in less than 12 minutes. The voting will begin. Ranking Representative Doug Collins of Georgia raised immediate objection to Nadler as Nadler began leaving, saying, quote, "This is the most Bush League stunt he'd ever seen." He says, quote, "Mr. Chairman, there was no consulting with the ranking members on your schedule for tomorrow. You just blew up schedules for everyone," Colin asked incredulously. "You chose not to consult a ranking member on a scheduling issue of this magnitude. This is a kangaroo court we're talking about. Not even consult. 10 a.m. tomorrow." I mean, he's like speechless that Nadler would just pull the rug out from under him and throw a wrench into the proceedings without even consulting him. He later told reporters, this is Collins, quote, "This is why people don't like us. This crap like this is why people are having such a terrible opinion of Congress. What Chairman Nadler just did and his staff and the rest of the majority who sat there quietly and said nothing, this is why they don't like us." Amongst other things, yes, he's right. They know it's all about games. It's all about TV screens. They want the primetime hit. This is Pelosi and Schiff and the others directing this committee. I don't have a chairman anymore. I guess I just need to go straight to Ms. Pelosi and say, what TV hit does this committee need tomorrow? This committee has lost all relevance. I'll see y'all tomorrow. So Republicans outraged and fired up, but there's no more time for actual debate on the articles of impeachment. They're expected to adopt impeachment on a party line after hearing that could last between 44 minutes and 2 hours this morning. The final vote is expected next week, Wednesday or Thursday. And should the House impeach the president next week, the matter would go to GOP-controlled Senate for a trial and virtually certain acquittal. So this is all a game. It's all a show. It's all a big razzle-dazzle extravaganza for the mainstream media in order for them to get juicy nuggets of easily confusing misinformation that they can pump out to the mainstream audience in order to convince them that something has happened without actually providing the evidence for the occurrence. But the good news is that during yesterday's impeachment hearing, where they were marking up the impeachment articles, we had a couple new sort of dynamos of the Republican Party, Matt Gaetz among them, got a chance to spit some truth in the face of the liars. And I'm just going to let this whole thing roll because, once again, I cede the floor to Matt Gaetz as he admittedly spills pearls before swine, those pearls of wisdom before the swine of the Democrats, and says the truth about Biden, which is, of course, the event that began this entire charade, the Ukrainian call, which at its base was the corruption of the Biden. And this just joins, by the way, every other part of impeachment, every other part of the Russia investigation, right? We talked about it yesterday and the day before, that the entire Ukrainian investigation, the Russia investigation, the spying by the FISA court and the FBI on the presidential campaign, it all happened because Hillary Clinton had an illegal server, just like the Ukrainian call and the subsequent impeachment all happened because of the corruption of Joe Biden and his son. And let's not forget John Kerry and others involved in the Ukraine. So this all of this starts, the impetus of all of this is Democrat corruption. And Matt Gaetz reminded us of that yesterday.
An essential element of the Democrats' case on abuse of power is that the Bidens did nothing wrong. It can only be an abuse of power and not a correct use of power if the president was pursuing something under which there was no reasonable basis to ask a question about Hunter Biden and Burisma. Hunter Biden and Burisma, well, that's an interesting story. And I think just about every American knows there's something up with that. $86,000 a month, no experience, working for some foreign government while your dad's the vice president of the United States? Is there anyone who believes this is okay? I know we got a few of my Democrat colleagues maybe run for president or might run for president one day. Would you let your vice president have their son or daughter or family member out moonlighting for some foreign company? Maybe I'll use language familiar to the former vice president. Come on, man. This looks dirty as it is. Hunter Biden was making more than five times more than a board member for ExxonMobil. I've heard of that company. And so I went to read up on Hunter Biden, learn a little more about him. I found this very extensive profile in The New Yorker. And here's what it says. Hunter said that at that point, he had not slept for several days. Driving east on Interstate 10, just beyond Palm Springs, he lost control of his car, which jumped the median and skidded to a stop on the shoulder of the westbound side. He called Hertz, which came to collect the damaged car and gave him a second rental. The Hertz rental officer told me he found a crack pipe in the car and on one of the consoles, a line of white powder residue. Bo Biden's attorney general badge was on the dashboard. Hertz called the Prescott Police Department and officers filed a narcotics offense report listing items seized in the car, including a plastic bag containing white powdery substance, a Secret Service business card, credit cards, and Hunter Biden's driver's license. That is what we would call evidence. And I don't want to make light of anybody's substance abuse issues. I know the president's working real hard to solve those throughout the country, but it's a little hard to believe that Burisma hired Hunter Biden to resolve their international disputes when he could not resolve his own dispute with Hertz rental car over leaving cocaine and a crack pipe in the car. It continues. Hunter stayed in Los Angeles for about a week. He said that he needed to get away and forget sooner after his arrival in L.A. He said he asked a homeless man in Pershing Square where he could buy crack. President. Hunter said that the man took him to a nearby homeless encampment where a narrow passageway between tents, someone put a gun to his head before realizing that he was the buyer. He returned to buy more crack a few times that week. Again, not saying, you know, not casting any judgment on any challenges someone goes through in their personal life, but it is just hard to believe that this was the guy wandering through homeless encampments buying crack that was worth $86,000 a month to Burisma Holding. And that might be one of the reasons why when ABC asked Hunter Biden, hey, you think you would have gotten this job in the absence of your dad being the vice president? Well, he said, probably not. And then I looked to the record evidence, and I looked to the testimony of Mr. Kent. Mr. Kent was one of the witnesses they called on the first day. He said Burisma was so dirty that our own embassy had to pull out of a joint sponsorship with them. When Ambassador Yovanovitch was being prepped for her Senate confirmation, the Obama administration was so worried about the corruption around Burisma and Hunter Biden that they held special prep moments to try to get ready for the inevitable questions about this obvious corruption that the president asked about. Mr. Kent, again, one of their witnesses from the first day, also gave testimony that Burisma had that the head of Burisma had stolen $23 million in the U.S. and the U.K., and that he paid a bribe to get off the hook. So again, it's not as if Burisma is pulling out new plays. Their playbook is to do dirty stuff and then go and pay bribes and hire the people necessary to make those problems go away. This is why the minority hearing issue is so important, by the way. You wonder why Republicans are so angry that we didn't have a hearing to put on our own witnesses and own evidence. And you may wonder why, well, if they feel so good about their case, why did they block our ability to put in evidence? It's because we have the ability to show that Burisma is corrupt. We have the ability to show that Hunter Biden is corrupt. And that totally exculpates the president. Because there is no way in the United States of America that honestly pursuing actual corruption is an impeachable offense. That's why I offer the amendment, and I encourage my colleagues to vote for it.
Matt Gaetz on fire once again. You can find that video and the article on Infowars.com. epic. Hunter Biden's crack cocaine escapades exposed during impeachment hearing by Kellen McBreen. Share that around, ladies and gentlemen. Let the Democrats know what it really looks like when you have evidence of malfeasance. Let the Democrats see what it really looks like to have evidence of corruption in the government.
Analyzing the globalists' next move. It's the David Knight Show.
So today they came out, the Democrats came out and said what they want to get rid of Trump for out of office. Do you guys agree first with getting him out of office?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay. He's vile, evil, evil being.
Yeah. Right. And he has committed, he has violated the Constitution and the Emoluments Act.
Well, that's what I was going to...
Criminal conspiracy.
Exactly.
His family and everyone around him is part, and that's what they have been trying to hide. If he were innocent, he would allow people to testify. He would allow the people around him. So it's so very clear that he is, since day one, has tried to hide what he is up to.
Why don't you think they'll let Hunter Biden testify?
Why should he?
Because this isn't about Hunter Biden. This is not about Hunter Biden. This is about President Trump's behavior.
And that's already been disproven. That was, you know, Hunter Biden did, it has been proven by all kinds of investigations that Hunter Biden did not do anything wrong. And
right.
They are trying to distract. Trump is a brilliant distractor. That's what he's good at. And that's
all.
Here's my question that I wanted to ask you guys. They said today that he needs to get out of office because he's a threat to the Constitution.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, he violates the Constitution.
To the world.
Can you tell me one constitutional amendment he's violated?
The Emoluments Clause, which is what, when his family is involved in making millions of dollars off the government, that people are staying in his hotels while he is president. He is violating that every time he makes a dollar from the United States taxpayers on his name. He's violating the Constitution.
So my question back to that is, I've talked to a lot of Trump supporters today, and they said that actually it's the Democrats who are threatening the Constitution because they want to, you know, restrict the Second Amendment.
And do they really believe that?
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
I'm telling you what they're saying.
Well, they'll say anything. Just like
you don't think that, you know, Beto O'Rourke or AOC or Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders are a threat to the Constitution when it's...
I think Donald Trump is a threat to this country and to the nation,
This is what's going on. It is very, very frightening.
Okay. Well, I mean, the Constitution says that we have the right to bear arms. So when Democrats are talking about gun control, do you think that they're a threat to the Constitution?
Gun control.
Control.
Okay.
Nobody
control.
Wants to take guns away.
Beto O'Rourke said he's going to take them.
Well, Beto O'Rourke isn't in the game right now.
And he's not the president.
But they said that about Obama.
Exactly.
They were defying Obama from day one. And Obama never, ever wanted to take guns away. Every day we have a shooting.
And nobody wants to take guns away. They just want people to be background checked and found appropriate to have guns.
They said they want to implement a ban on certain types of rifles.
Yes.
Is that not against the Second Amendment?
No. Because when the Second Amendment was developed, it was in the 1700s, and they had muskets. They had muskets, and now...
They don't have AK-47s.
AK-47s are war weapons.
Are they?
Come from yes, they're only used to kill hundreds of people at one time. They're a military weapon.
No.
Well, what are they for then?
So what do you define as military? They're for self-defense.
Oh.
Where?
Self-defense for what?
Yeah, so 3 million lives are saved every year due to defensive use of firearms. Yeah.
Where are you getting that information?
That's from the FBI.
AK-47?
Sure. Rifles, guns, in general.
We're not talking about that's AK-47.
So rifles, guys, calm down. So rifles of all kinds account for about 430 murders every year.
Putting up with this nonsense. She's out there arguing with people that do not live in reality. How do you argue with somebody that doesn't live in reality? They come out saying, Hunter Biden, there have been tons of investigations that have proven that Hunter Biden didn't do anything. That's entirely untrue. You know who has been investigated? You know who has been cleared? Donald J. Trump. How do you argue with these people? They're insane.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Second hour has begun, ladies and gentlemen. It is the 13th of December, 2019. My name's Harrison Smith. I'm sitting in for David Knight. And we were talking in the first hour about saying goodbye to Julian as he moves on to bigger and better things back in California for God knows what reason. I'm kidding. But we went yesterday to an all-you-can-eat sushi restaurant, which I did not know existed, and which I will now be going to all the time because sushi is one of those things I can eat a ton of. And I was talking to the crew during the break. It's like I'm not the most healthy person. I have a irresponsible fondness for McDonald's and Taco Bell. I just really like eating food that is terrible for me. And I know I should. I know I try not to, and I don't as much as I would like to, but I still do. And it's amazing. I never notice how much of a detriment that diet is until I eat a ton of fresh, raw fish. And the next day, I'm just like, my brain is clear. I'm energized, even with less sleep than I normally get. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like I got a handle on everything. It's like I'm like running at full capacity. It's like I've just got an oil change, and I'm suddenly just like running smooth and clean, and I'm not all gunked up and clogged up with the fats and the processed foods and stuff. And so I'm feeling good. And it's just one of those things that it's like when you first start taking the InfoWars supplements. It's like I didn't realize how bad my diet was affecting me. I didn't realize how badly my lifestyle was. There you go. I don't always eat an endless sushi buffet, but when I do, I always eat too much. That was me yesterday and again this morning. But, you know, you don't know. You don't know how negative the impacts of your lifestyle are until you change them. And suddenly you go, why didn't I do this earlier? So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling sprite and energetic and good. And I want everyone to feel this way. And I want to encourage everyone out there, go to InfoWarsStore.com, buy some supplements, get the fish oil, and you'll see. You'll look back and you'll go, why did I not do this earlier? You know, you notice. You really do notice. And people, you know, people like to claim that the stuff we sell doesn't work. You're always hearing Vice News or somebody claim that what we're selling isn't really the good stuff. It's the good stuff, and they know it. Because they buy it from other people. They spend more money. They get an inferior product. But they know that it works. And if you don't think that supplements work, try knockout. Try knockout and then try to stay awake for a little while. Your eyelids will be heavy. Your breathing will slow. Your heart rate will slowly tamp down to that sleeping rhythm. And you'll realize exactly how powerful these supplements are and how important it is to maintain a beneficial diet for you. Anyway, that's just a little personal experience for you. We're going to get back into the impeachment proceedings yesterday, and I'd like to go to one of these videos. This is Reschenthaler. And this is Reschenthaler talking about Fast and Furious, basically pointing out the double standard that President Trump is being held under, especially when compared to previous presidential administrations. So, again, I want to play this in full. I won't interrupt, but I'll let Reschenthaler take it away. This is the Republican representative from Pennsylvania yesterday talking about Fast and Furious and the double standard to which the presidential administration of Donald Trump is being held.
My amendment would strike all of Article 2, which is the obstruction of Congress charge. The facts simply do not align with the Democrats' claim of obstruction. Our government has three branches for a reason. When there is a disagreement between the executive and the legislative branch, it is supposed to be resolved by the third branch, the court. Republicans recognized this in 2011 when they investigated President Obama's Fast and Furious scandal. The Fast and Furious scandal allowed 2,000 firearms to fall into the hands of drug cartels and resulted in the death of an American Border Patrol agent. People actually died in President Obama's scandal. Throughout the Republicans' investigation of that scandal, they made numerous attempts to accommodate the Obama administration. Yet despite their efforts, President Obama invoked executive privilege and barred testimony and documents. So what did the Republicans do? The appropriate thing. They went to the courts. Compare those efforts with what we have seen from the Democrats during this impeachment sham. House Democrats could have worked with the administration to reach accommodations for their requests, but they didn't. House Democrats should have worked through the courts, but they didn't. And why is that? It's simple. Because they have a political expedient deadline to send this mess out of Congress into the Senate before Christmas. So despite what you hear from my colleagues, the administration has consistently cooperated with Democrats, even though they have been out to get this president since the very moment he was elected. Let's just go through the numbers. Over 25 administration officials have testified before the House Oversight Committee. Over 25. Over 20 administration officials have testified before this very committee. The administration has also handed over more than 100,000 pages of documents since the start of this sham impeachment inquiry. Now let's contrast that with the conduct from the Democrats. Democrats have threatened witnesses that, quote unquote, any failure to appear in response to a letter requesting their presence would constitute evidence of obstruction. Let me just go through that language. It's a letter would constitute evidence of obstruction. That's not a subpoena, that's a letter. Democrats have also told the State Department employees that if they insisted on using agency counsel to protect executive branch confidentiality interests, they would have their salaries withheld. That kind of sounds like abuse of power, but I digress a little bit. Democrats have not afforded this president basic procedure protections, such as the right to see all the evidence, the right to call witnesses, or the right to have counsel at hearings. But it's just not the Trump administration that's been railroaded by the Democrats. Judiciary Democrats voted down my own subpoena, my own motion to subpoena the whistleblower, even though I said that he or she could testify in executive session, which would be private, and yet they voted it down on party lines. Chairman Nadler also refused requests to have Chairman Schiff testify before this committee. House Democrats also have denied every Republican request for a fact witness. So I ask, who is really obstructing Congress? The Democrats have no case when it comes to obstruction. This obstruction charge is completely baseless and bogus. If they really wanted to charge someone with obstruction, how about they start with Adam Schiff? Thank you, and I yield back the remainder of my time.
That's Guy Rosenthaler from Pennsylvania laying down the, again, double standard of the Democrats as they treat Republicans and the double standard that Republicans have to adhere to as they attempt to do things the right way in the face of Democrats who will run roughshod over any rules that restrict their ability to enact their totalitarian ideologies. Now, we have breaking news. The vote has been held. The election has been cast, and they have approved articles of impeachment against President Trump. The House Judiciary Committee approved articles of impeachment against President Trump. The final vote will occur on Wednesday or Thursday of next week. But on the other side of this short commercial break, I'll bring you the video of the voting process. Doesn't take very long, but it happened mere minutes ago, and we'll bring you that on the other side. So stay with us. This is the David Knight Show. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight as we watch, we observe from our elevated position the hinging of history, the decisions being made that will determine humanity itself and the path we take for the next 1,000 years. Stay with us, and we'll be back on the other side.
Votes aye. Ms. Lofgren?
Aye.
Ms. Lofgren votes aye. Ms. Jackson Lee?
Aye.
Ms. Jackson Lee votes aye. Mr. Cohen?
Aye.
Mr. Cohen votes aye. Mr. Johnson of Georgia?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson of Georgia votes aye. Mr. Deutsch?
Aye.
Mr. Deutsch votes aye. Ms. Bass?
Aye.
Ms. Bass votes aye. Mr. Richmond?
Yes.
Mr. Richmond votes yes. Mr. Jeffries?
Aye.
Mr. Jeffries votes aye. Mr. Cicilline?
Aye.
Mr. Cicilline votes aye. Mr. Swalwell?
Aye.
Mr. Swalwell votes aye. Mr. Liu? Mr. Raskin?
Aye.
Mr. Raskin votes aye. Ms. Jayapal?
Aye.
Ms. Jayapal votes aye. Ms. Demings?
Aye.
Ms. Demings votes aye. Mr. Correa?
Yes.
Mr. Correa votes yes. Ms. Scanlon?
Aye.
Ms. Scanlon votes aye. Ms. Garcia?
Aye.
Ms. Garcia votes aye. Mr. Nagus?
Aye.
Mr. Nagus votes aye. Ms. McBath?
Aye.
Ms. McBath votes aye. Mr. Stanton?
Aye.
Mr. Stanton votes aye. Ms. Dean?
Aye.
Ms. Dean votes aye. Ms. McCarcel Powell?
Aye.
Ms. McCarcel Powell votes aye. Ms. Escobar?
Aye.
Ms. Escobar votes aye. Mr. Collins?
No.
Mr. Collins votes no. Mr. Sensenbrenner?
No.
Mr. Sensenbrenner votes no. Mr. Shabbat?
No.
Mr. Shabbat votes no. Mr. Gohmert?
My vote is no.
Mr. Gohmert votes no. Mr. Jordan?
No.
Mr. Jordan votes no. Mr. Buck?
No.
Mr. Buck votes no. Mr. Radcliffe?
No.
Mr. Radcliffe votes no. Ms. Roby?
No.
Ms. Roby votes no. Mr. Gates?
No.
Mr. Gates votes no. Mr. Johnson of Louisiana?
No.
Mr. Johnson of Louisiana votes no. Mr. Biggs?
No.
Mr. Biggs votes no. Mr. McClintock?
No.
Mr. McClintock votes no. Ms. Lesko?
No.
Ms. Lesko votes no. Mr. Reschenthaler?
No.
Mr. Reschenthaler votes no. Mr. Klein?
No.
Mr. Klein votes no. Mr. Armstrong?
No.
Mr. Armstrong votes no. Mr. Stubbe?
No.
Mr. Stubbe votes no.
Has every member voted who wishes to vote?
Mr. Chairman, may I ask how I'm recorded?
How is the gentleman recorded?
Mr. Gohmert, you are recorded as no.
Yeah, I want to make sure.
Clerk will report.
And just like that, ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. Chairman, there are 23 ayes and 17 noes.
The article is agreed.
The most partisan, half-hearted, rushed impeachment proceedings in the history of America have moved one step closer to fruition. The articles of impeachment have passed again on perfectly partisan lines. In a way that would infuriate and shame the founders of our country and the framers of our Constitution. The Democrats have wielded their congressional majority to bring forth these absolutely fraudulent charges of impeachment. And the die is cast. The final vote will be held next week on Wednesday or Thursday. Should that vote pass, we'll move on to the Senate, where it's in the hands of Mitch McConnell, and I think we can all expect it to die a quick and painful death in that chamber. But now's the time, folks. You got 6 days, maybe 5 days, to contact your congressman. especially if you live in a Democratic district, especially if you live in a Democratic district that went to Trump. And even if you didn't, now is the time to contact your representative and let them know in a polite but forceful manner exactly how you feel about the vote to impeach the president of the United States on nothing more than hearsay, rumors, innuendo, and falsehoods. I want to know what you think, too. You know what? I'm going to open up the phone lines. 1-888-201-2244. 1-888-201-2244. Give me a call. Let me know what you think about the impeachment hearing, the sham impeachment. It's happening. That's mere minutes ago in Washington, D.C. The vote has passed. The articles of impeachment will be put to a final vote on Wednesday or Thursday of next week. So we'll open up those phone lines. We'll get what you fine ladies and gentlemen think about it out there in the InfoWar sphere. And, you know, for now, I want to talk about a couple other things that happened yesterday during the impeachment proceedings. This is from InfoWars.com video. Reuters photographer caught sneaking photos of impeachment hearing docs. Internet meme lord Carpe Donctum tweeted a video of a Reuters photographer named Josh Roberts sneakily taking photos of paperwork lying on the desks of the House Judiciary Committee while they were out on recess. Whoever this is, regardless of their party affiliation, should lose their press pass and be banned from the Capitol building, Carpe wrote. Congressman Devin Nunes, who was tagged in Carpe's original post, retweeted the video and responded with, quote, media spy games. Following the committee's recess, Representative Matt Gaetz from Florida called out Reuters photographer Josh Roberts for approaching the dais and taking pictures of the notes on the desk of some of my Democratic colleagues. Quote, we noticed that, announced it to the staff, and the photographer has been removed. And I would just say no member, Republican or Democrat, should be subjected to that. Guys, can we play that video just as B-roll? Again, you can find this on InfoWars.com. And you can see it there, these two swamp rat scumbags sneaking up. And you know, they look around all casually and have a big old camera and take a picture. One guy sort of looking around, making sure no one's coming up, while the other guy just very casually takes pictures of the documents on the desk of the Democrat. And he looks at his camera like, oh, I'm just testing it out. Just testing out the lens. These people are media spies. I'd be surprised if they're actual journalists, weren't some sort of foreign agents. That's Josh Roberts sneakily taking photos. And of course, he was kicked out for that. He should lose his press pass. Frankly, he should be questioned, possibly arrested. And the idea that you would go up and take photos of the documents of an impeachment hearing. These people have no propriety whatsoever in the media, the Democratic Party. We are surrounded by people who openly, flagrantly flaunt any laws on the books or any just guidelines of basic decorum and human decency. That's who we're up against. And yes, folks, it is happening. In the words of meme version of Ron Paul, it's happening. We need a Ron Paul meme of it's happening where it's not a celebration. It's not a good happening. It's a bad happening. And we'll get your calls on the other side. George, Raul, and Leo, I'll come to you when we get back from this commercial break. Stay with us, folks. This is David Knight Show. Harrison Smith sitting in for David.
Analyzing the globalists' next move. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the David Knight Show. The call lines absolutely lit up as soon as I opened up the lines for callers. Everybody wants to say their piece about this impeachment. Of course, you can call in at 1-888-201-2244 to say your piece. I want to go first to George in Nevada wants to talk about impeachment going forward. George in Nevada, you're on the air.
Hi. Just a quick plug to start off with. I'm a night worker, and any night workers out there who are not taking the knockout, get to sleep during the middle of the day, they're doing something wrong. Also, the Brain Force has helped me cut my caffeine intake at night in half.
So, oh, that's fantastic.
Get on the Brain Force and the knockout.
Yes, sir. It's the one-two punch. I totally agree. Thanks for that. So what's your thought on impeachment?
Well, I'm of like mind as Mike Adams when he says that there is no way Trump can win if the First Amendment is not reinstated. Right now we got Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube, I can't go on to Facebook and post something positive about Trump because I'm going to get banned. You know what I mean? So if this doesn't get fixed, if we don't have a First Amendment, if we are basically, big tech has gagged all of America except for the minority of libtarded Democrats. And so the only voice out there is the people who are speaking negative.
Yep.
And so they're starting to brainwash some people who are neutral. So,
I totally agree.
Yeah. So if we cannot, blackboxvoting.org, I forgot the woman's name, but that needs to happen. We need to go back to paper ballots. If we don't have a transparent election, they're going to steal the next election like they stole the midterms. And stole the Kentucky one.
You are exactly right. You're exactly right. There are so many issues that we need to be focusing on. It's almost shocking. But if we don't have the First Amendment, if we aren't able to even get our message out there, how are we going to win? If we don't know who's counting the votes or how they're being counted, if it's all done electronically and can easily be manipulated, how are we going to win? It's like all of these different things, all of these levels of corruption and ways that they can rob us of our right to self-representation need to be resolved. Even the illegal immigration and illegals voting, the busing that we know Democrats do from their own mouths, Project Veritas revealing that we've done this for 50 years. We're not going to stop now, busing people from place to place. The way they algorithmically target high density areas of extreme partisan racial blocks that they then bus out. And George Soros spending $22 billion following the 2016 election to put all of these operations in place. What we're up against is almost unimaginable. But thankfully, we have a few things on our side: the truth, God, and liberty and freedom, which every human desires and deserves. And I think you're right. So what do you think we can do, and how do you think we can get this Congress back on track in focusing on the things that will forever rob us of our liberties rather than constantly having to respond to and play defense for the treasonous Democrats?
Well, I agree with you. We need to contact our congressperson, even if you live in a liberal place like Las Vegas has become one. Yeah. Even though the entire state's red, the city of Las Vegas is blue, which irritates people such as myself who are into guns.
Right.
So we need to contact. Also, word of mouth. Like, I tell all my coworkers, I try to, I send out the links to the, InfoWarsATK.com,
Yep.
And I send out the links to the articles from InfoWars. Word of mouth, I guess, until we get our First Amendment, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. It's like I said, we have a long road to hoe ahead of us, and we really cannot let our vigilance slack, especially in the critical year of 2020. So everybody make a New Year's resolution to be unabashedly and excitedly pro-Republican, pro-liberty, and pro-Donald Trump in the year of 2020. I even find myself, they have people so controlled and everything. It's like even Republicans are afraid of speaking out. Yesterday I was at a half-price books, and I was looking at, you know, I love the little, I haven't been wearing them recently, but the little lapel pins that I wear, and I have a big collection of them, and I was looking at them, and the only ones they had available were, like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg pins, and, like, you know, Cornel West pins, or things to say, like, I dissent, or resist, or this sort of thing, and I was kind of looking at them, and just kind of staring at them, and the girl that works there was like, oh, yeah, aren't they cool? And I'm like, yeah, they're cool, but all you have are these stupid liberal ones. Like, you know, maybe if you had some cooler ones, I'd buy them. And she was just like, what? What? You don't love Ruth Bader Ginsburg? And it's just like, no, this is cringy and weird to be wearing a Supreme Court Justice person on your lapel.
I don't know. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you as well. All right, take care, George.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's George. Yeah, just you got to be unabashed. You just got to, in your everyday life, just don't be a jerk. Just be a nice person and just let people know that their ideas are terrible. All right. Raul from El Paso wants to talk about impeachment. Raul, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Hey, first off, I'm a first-generation American. I'm sorry, man. This really hits me. I have a six-year-old daughter. I look at her every day and I tell her she could grow up and be president of the United States, you know? And that's like the greatest thing in the world, bro. I work
right
every day. I'm the classic American, work every day to be poor, you know, and I work every day for my daughter. It don't matter because I know that she can be something better. But if they impeach Trump, that just goes down the drain, bro. And that makes my daughter just another poor American with no dream, you know? And that really, oh man, that really bothers me.
Yeah. Yeah, you really hit it on the head right there, because what they're doing in impeaching Donald Trump is destroying the promise of America, that you have a right to decide who it is that leads you and that your government has to be accountable to you, the American people. When they run roughshod over the election, they run roughshod over the basis of America itself and the things that make us great, the things that have allowed us to literally dominate the entire world for at least half a century. And you're right. That's what they're destroying. That's what they're undermining. It's a great point.
Yes, Raul. Sir. All right. That's it, man. Y'all doing a great job. Love your products. Love all the crew. Keep it up, man.
Well, thank you so much. You're the first generation Americans that we need, man. It's so sad to see so many people escape poverty and oppression and slavery and violence and danger
to be oppressed again, man. You know,
it's insane.
That disgusts me.
It's insane. And we like, and you know, one of the things that everybody can agree on, and every Trump supporter and every, it's like, you especially see it on things like Reddit, which is so incredibly liberal. Yet there's one thing that will always shoot up to the top. And what is it? It's somebody posting, hey, everyone, I want to let everyone know that today I took my oath and I'm now an American citizen. And it's just, everybody loves that. Nobody is against that. Nobody is against people who come from other countries and say, I'm here now. I'm an American now. I've left, you know, the old country behind. I don't have loyalty to them or my particular people anymore. I've taken the oath. I've accepted the American experiment, the American dream of being one people out of many. And everybody loves that, and everybody is for that. It's only when people take advantage of that to try to get benefits for their own group, or try to somehow weaken America because they think that we're bad, even though they want to live here. It's like, we don't need any of that. We need more people like Raul and his daughter who are here to be Americans and who support America, love liberty, and understand what it's all about. Folks, obviously, the two major stories of the day are the fact that the impeachment articles have passed, awaiting a final vote of Wednesday or Thursday of next week. That's the major story here in the U.S. Of course, the U.K. major story is that the conservatives have absolutely swept the elections there. They have an absolute majority in their parliament, and hopefully that means they're actually going to get Brexit after, you know, nigh on 3 years of waiting. That will finally happen. But that's not the only stuff that's happening in the world today. In fact, that's not even the only stuff that's happening on InfoWars. Of course, Rex Jones has hit the ground running. He has a new show called I'm Not Bragging. The first episode with Gavin McGinnis is up on Infowars.com right now. Caitlin Bennett just came out with a fantastic new video that we played earlier in the day. We'll go to another John Bowne report later in the program. And, of course, Owen Schroyer is basically in full-on battle tank mode, storming the New York Times and others. People are attacking him, throwing bottles at him. So we'll get to that in the next hour as well. There's the video of him having a glass bottle thrown at him. So we'll talk about that in the next hour. We'll also talk about some of this other stories, the shock video, black teens pummel white student over Trump hat, sending this young white man to the hospital, beating him for wearing a Trump baseball cap. And we'll also talk about the fact that the elementary school in Austin invited a convicted felon drag queen to talk to and put makeup on the face of children. Sickening sort of societal decay that we'll continue to discuss in the next hour, as well as the movement of Virginia Democrats to deploy the National Guard to enforce gun control if the police decide they don't want to comply. So we'll get to all of that and more in the next hour, but I want to stick with impeachment for a bit here and go back out to your phone calls. We have Richard in Texas who's called about the judiciary hearings. Thanks for calling in, Richard. You are on the air.
Morning, Harrison.
Good morning.
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about, I was trolling the live stream of the hearing last night because I knew all the staffers were watching it because they wanted to see the opinion of the public. And it was funny because the Republicans were literally calling it out. There was only 1,000 people on the live stream till the last 30 minutes, and then like 6,000 joined.
Right.
And so for the whole entire proceedings, I was just dropping the hammer on them, one quote of every law that different Democrats had broken and weren't charged by the FBI, all the federal statutes the FBI broke under Crossfire Hurricane.
Right.
It was hilarious. And so by the end, I was getting pissed because I was just, I mean, the whole thing is such a sham. I started trolling Nadler, and I was like, hey, has anyone seen the video of Nadler drooling like a vegetable during
right.
the proceedings? And you see all the staffers lean forward and show their phones to the Republicans, and they all start bursting out laughing. And I'm pretty sure that's why Nadler canceled the hearing.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, so, that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Best what live stream was this the C-SPAN live stream or was this on YouTube? Where were you watching this?
This was the Fox 10 live stream. A lot of the Republicans monitor that one the most.
That's good Fox to know. That's very interesting. That is very interesting indeed. See, man, it's, you know, the internet, the way they control it, they've really been able to manipulate it to their own ends. But all it takes is one person sitting there and feeding the truth into the chat stream there. And you can change minds and you can get some attention and you can lead people down a rabbit hole that maybe will lead them to the truth. That's great, Richard. Now that you've heard that they've passed the articles, what are your thoughts?
Well, concerning, because I watched Boris Johnson's speech. And if you look at what a conservative is in England, he's like, yeah, let's, you know, make sure we fund climate change fully. Let's fund universal health care fully. It's like what a liberal is here, a conservative is way more liberal there. And it's like, well, if we don't fix this thing with our political system here, and if people don't start becoming activists, that's what it's going to be here in 5 years.
Absolutely.
So
that's absolutely
hopefully
correct.
People take that as, you know, a call to action that they legally and lawfully and very vocally speak up and stand up in every way they can think of.
Yeah, and we talked about it yesterday with Peter Diabroska, congressional candidate for North Carolina's 7th District, and we talked about it with him. It's time to push back. It's time to stop. And I talk about all this conservative. It's always just one little step back. All right, one more little step back. One more little step back. Well, you know, 10, 20 years of tiny steps back, suddenly you're occupying the position that your enemies occupied previously. So it's time to push back. It's time to push everything to the right rather than just slow the process as they push to the left. So that's great stuff. Richard in Texas doing his part in the chat room of the Fox 10 live stream. And I wouldn't be surprised if you had Republican and Democrat staffers there watching that chat stream for interesting information. Thanks so much for the call, Richard. Let's go to James in Indiana. Let's talk about the sham impeachment. Oh, he hung up. He got scared. He ran. He ran away. All right, then we move on to Ken in Seattle. Ken in Seattle wants to talk about the articles of impeachment. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, Harrison, how's it going? It's Tim in Seattle.
Oh, Tim.
Hey, I just, we went out to the MAGA march in Seattle, and we got in Antifa's face. We made a big hoopla just by being fearless, standing up for our country, standing up for our future. But it's the most effective way of protest in America right now is to just go out in the streets and amplify your voice as much as possible.
Yeah.
Legally and lawfully.
And, express your First Amendment right. You're not trying to get in a fight with anybody, but if you're not allowed to have your First Amendment right, you have an absolute right, as guaranteed by our Constitution, to guarantee your rights yourself and not have to rely on a corrupt government to guarantee them for you. That's kind of what America's all about. That's great, Tim. Sure. And well, what's the reaction been, and what's your advice for people who haven't been out to express themselves in that way before?
The reaction is pretty, everybody's got the deer in the headlights look for a while, but then they absorb the violence that they see from the left, and they start to see the juxtaposition, because it doesn't meet the narrative that the media that's been projecting on them. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an overall success if you just get out there, you'd be fearless, nonviolent, peaceful protesting. For the most part, the liberals and the Democrats, they just can't help but double down on top of that. So it's just going to even be more worse for them the next time they come out to get retribution or some sort of vendetta payback. But it's definitely the most effective way. I don't see how else we're going to do it unless we're out in the streets. Making our voices heard.
Yep.
Really,
I completely agree. Tim is in Seattle,
also,
behind enemy
a caveat
lines.
To that.
Go ahead.
I'd watch out for that fish. You know, with Japan and everything, what's going on with Fukushima, it's just be careful on how much you consume.
You're right. And you got to be taking your iodine as well, your X2 survival shield or X3 survival shield as well to mitigate any risk of that. Luckily, or unluckily, I think most of the stuff that we eat is farm raised here. It's not being plucked from the Pacific, which would be great and would be better if it was. But unfortunately,
you know how they raise tilapia, right?
Tell me.
Pig shit? Sorry, pig poop?
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
dump that.
That's how it's fed. Sorry about that, but yeah.
You are what you eat, I guess. Good thing. I don't really like tilapia. I like how you said that. That was very conspiratorial. Raise tilapia.
Worldwide farms, it's just there's not a whole lot of emphasis on making people healthy. So,
right.
Just FYI.
Well, thank you very much. I will keep that in mind. I just need to cut out the fast food and the fats and the processed food from my life. Whether you're eating fish or vegetables, it's just about filling your engine with the clean fuel. Thanks so much for the call, Tim, in Seattle. We got more calls, and we'll get to those on the other side in the third hour. And, of course, we'll get to the stories I mentioned before. I'll break them down for you, show you some amazing videos of everything I've explained, as well as a shocking video, well, not shocking, upsetting video of a hacker hacking in to the interior indoor spy cam of an 8-year-old. Absolutely unsettling and upsetting. It's not surprising, though. It's not shocking because we know that this is what it's all about. We know that this is what it's for. We know that if you connect a camera to the internet inside your house, you are asking to be spied on. You are inviting them in. It's like these people are vampires, and vampires can't come into your house unless you invite them, right? Just like YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, they can't spy on you unless you agree to it. So they rely on you to open the door to your oppressors and the spies that would observe you without them knowing. Third hour begins in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
David Knight Show.
Children laughing, people pass.
This is like
pin the tail on your favorite impeachment theory because they don't have evidence for any one single thing to impeach the president for. I yield back.
Watching the impeachment debate is like watching a psych ward doctor argue with the institutionalized.
I took theater and drama when I was in college, one course. And I was told the first thing you have to do is have the willing suspension of disbelief.
Let me remind you of a statement that Dr. Fiona Hill made in her opening statement and her extraordinary, powerful opening statement and credible testimony before this Congress. She said, and I quote, "If the president or anyone else impedes or subverts the national security of the United States in order to further a domestic, political, or personal interest, that is more than worthy of your attention."
The debate to formally introduce two articles of impeachment was every bit the clown show any average American came to expect after 3 years of burnout resulting from the Democrats' desperation to manufacture anything they could to oust the anti-globalist rhetoric of populist favorite President Trump, piling on more hubris and hypocrisy.
We are blessed to live in a wonderful free country. An important thing that keeps us free is the Constitution of the United States and the generations of Americans who've defended that Constitution on the battlefield, in the courts, in the Congress. The founders included the impeachment clause in the Constitution purposefully, and they gave Congress the sole authority to impeach for a reason.
Alexander Hamilton said the greatest danger of impeachment would be depriving a president of due process. The greatest danger, Hamilton said, would be if impeachment was used politically by a party that had the most votes in the House, instead of being used on the basis of guilt or innocence for specified crimes under the Constitution. And today, the Committee of Jurisdiction, after only 1 week, is marking up a bill to impeach a president for crimes that aren't specified under the Constitution by the party that has the most votes in the House and pledged to impeach him from the first day of his presidency. Today's Democrats are the founders' worst nightmare come true.
The Democrats pushed the big lie that they sat on the sidelines of history, doing the will of the founders, unaware that every soundbite will be used against them in the very near future as they revert back to their natural hatred of our founding principles and its creators.
The Constitution is a plain language set of laws that Americans for generations have adhered to and been protected by. It is a list of crimes the framers feared and are forbidden actions not to be taken by our governors.
I don't care if it's a George Washington statue or a Thomas Jefferson statue or a Robert E. Lee statue. They all need to come down.
Meanwhile, the Republicans laid out the Democrats' crippling damage to our system for all with eyes to see and ears to hear.
July 31st, 2016, the FBI opened the Trump-Russia investigation and spied on four American citizens associated with President Trump's campaign. They took the dossier to the FISA court, and they lied to the court 17 times.
Democrats have been resisting and looking for an excuse to impeach this president since the day he was elected. There were false charges that pro-Trump Russians had shut down the power grids in Vermont. A frivolous lawsuit was filed claiming voting machines were rigged in three states. More than 50 House Democrats boycotted President Trump's swearing-in ceremony, including the chairman of this committee. The Washington Post ran an article titled, "The Campaign to Impeach President Trump Has Begun," on January 17, 2017. Strangely enough, the article was posted at 12:19 p.m. while the inaugural ceremonies were still happening.
But the most notorious example of corruption was Burisma, who just happened to have on his board of directors Hunter Biden. And they say, you know what? That's not proper to investigate.
You see this full video at band.video or Infowars.com. John Bound. John Bound's like the unseen engine. He's like an unsung hero of Infowars. He's the most consistent and talented editor, one of the most consistent talented editors that we have, reporters that we have. And go support him at the Bound Report on band.video. Your calls and more stories on the other side.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
The third hour begins. This is the David Knight Show on Friday the 13th. What a Friday the 13th it is. 13th of December 2019. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight, who returns from vacation next week. So I will no longer be in the seat. David Knight will return. And later today, I will be on the War Room with Savannah Hernandez to discuss some of the fallout of the British election there in the UK, the landslide victory of the Conservative Party, so-called, you know, the relatively conservative party against the communist Corbynistas. So that'll happen at 3 p.m. or maybe sometime later, but I will be on the War Room later. You can also follow me on Twitter at Off Limits News. And, you know, I put up a tweet recently that went semi-viral for me. It got 100 likes, which for me is, whew, that's crazy. You know, I listed out basically several things that 10 years ago, Alex Jones was the only one discussing on any form of media, of any politician or media pundit or personality. It was Alex Jones alone who spoke about globalism, who spoke about appliances spying on you, you know, allowing web cameras into your house or microphones to be put in appliances that don't need them. Just the list of the international cabal of pedophile elites. It's just the list is nearly endless. But, you know, luckily these things are starting to hit the mainstream. They finally become accepted by the widespread public. And like I said, one of those things was the idea that you will be spied upon if you allow these internet companies to put sensitive devices, microphones, cameras, anything like that, into your house for no reason other than to spy on you. So this story, the first word in the story is creepy. If you go to Infowars.com, it's creepy. Ring camera hacker spies on 8-year-old girl, tells her he's Santa Claus. Creepy is, it doesn't even begin to describe this story. It's disturbing to an extreme level. I'll play the clip from ABC News' Good Morning America. But here's the thing that you have to remember. This guy starts talking to this little girl. He starts telling her to do things. Starts telling her she can do whatever she wants. He's Santa Claus, and he gives her permission. Of course, she freaks out and runs away. But how many times has a Ring camera, has a surveillance camera inside the house of Americans, especially Americans with children, how many times have they been hacked into and been accessed by nefarious actors who don't choose to then speak through the camera, right? If this guy didn't speak through the camera, nobody would ever know that he'd been spying on this 8-year-old girl in Mississippi. Nobody would ever know. It's almost like this guy did it in order to make people aware that this was possible. This is almost like a white hat kind of move from a hacker who speaks through the camera, obviously terrifies this little girl, incredibly upsetting. But luckily he did that, because otherwise we wouldn't know. We wouldn't know that this had occurred. And God knows how many people now are being spied upon. Children, women, men. I mean, your life is an open book if you invite these people in by having these poorly secured webcams and microphones within your house. So here's the story from ABC News about this Ring camera hacker spying on an 8-year-old girl.
Home security cameras meant to keep you safe, but now reports that hackers are breaking into them, terrifying families. Will Reeve is here with more. Good morning, Will.
Hey, Michael. Good morning. Yeah, they are a huge holiday gift, those home security cameras. But for some people whose systems were hacked into and their families messed with, they may have buyer's remorse, or at the very least, they have questions about how something like this could happen.
This morning, two families say their Ring camera systems were hacked, essentially allowing people into their homes without ever stepping foot inside. In Mississippi, this chilling video from inside Ashley LeMay's home shows her 8-year-old daughter, Alyssa, frantically searching for an invisible intruder.
Who is that?
I'm your best friend. I'm Santa Claus.
You can hear the male voice ask the young girl to destroy her own stuff.
You can do whatever you want right now. You can mess up your room. You can break your TV.
Alyssa, scared and confused, cries out for help.
Mommy! I can't even, like, put into words, like, how violated I feel. And, you know, like, it really is, like, my worst nightmare.
I was keeping scared. I was even scared of my room for a few days. I'm still a little bit scared of it.
Hello, Dougie, Dougie, Dougie. Come here, Dougie.
And in Georgia, a stranger hacked into the Ring camera in this couple's bedroom.
I was terrified.
The couple, who has asked to remain unidentified, says they purchased the camera so they could watch their dog while they were at work. But the woman says she was confused on Monday evening after the surveillance light suddenly came on.
So I'm texting my boyfriend saying, you know, why are you watching? We're laying down. We're about to go to sleep. He's like, what are you talking about?
Just seconds later.
I can see you in the bed. Come on, wake the f*** up.
The couple, shaken by the ordeal, reported the incident to Ring. The home security system company releasing this statement. While we are still investigating this issue and are taking appropriate steps to protect our devices based on our investigation, we are able to confirm this incident is in no way related to a breach or compromise of Ring's security.
The LeMay family in Mississippi has since filed a police report. Ring suggests using their two-step verification system, using strong passwords, and creating shared users on your account instead of sharing login information, all to keep your home a little bit safer, but really scary stuff.
Oh, that little girl had to be just frightened.
I know. She seems to be handling it okay.
Yeah, in the end. I know.
Oof, really
good thing she called for her parents.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, what do you even say after that? What could possibly be more dystopian and upsetting than knowing that your camera inside your own house is open to the world, that hackers can get in and watch you? And if they hadn't said anything, you would never know. That little girl, that 8-year-old girl, could have been watched for days and days or weeks before this guy decided to play a prank and start talking to her. Incredibly disturbing and upsetting. Of course, Ring is like, well, it's not our fault. It's not our security. You need to do the two-step thing. Of course, we know that Amazon and Ring are completely open to the cops. They basically are partnered with the cops to provide them surveillance whatever they want, whenever they want it. So far, you know, it's been like, well, it's just the outside, you know, the Ring thing. But, you know, how soon will it be before the police, the government have access to the cameras inside your own house? It's almost certainly happening already. And then you take it to the next level and you think about the social score in China and the way that, you know, if you jaywalk and you're caught on a facial recognition camera, you get a text, there's your fine, you have to pay it, or you are punished with more social credit demarcations, I guess, or demotions on the social credit ladder score. You know, is it such a leap to 1984? Is it such a difficult thing to believe that we are very, very, very close to a world where there are cameras in your house watching you all the time, observing what you're doing, using AI, artificial intelligence, to determine whether what you're doing is good or not, then applying a score to that and punishing you for the way you behave or the way that you look or the things that you do. So the levels of, I mean, the destruction of privacy, the ability for tyrants to use this to maintain their own power, the insecurity that is exposed of, in terms of things like Amazon, who now has giant Pentagon contracts and works hand in hand with the police. We are on the cusp of the Orwellian nightmare we've been warning you about for decades. And yet we've seemingly just rushed headlong into this, like a blind bull, just totally ignoring all of the people that warned you, like, for example, Alex Jones and InfoWars, who have been telling you this forever. Folks, a little word of wisdom. If you have a camera that can be accessed through the internet, it's not secure. It's not safe. Even if it's the most secure thing ever, your email might not be, and that's where your password is. So suddenly the door's open for the criminals or the government or whoever. Just don't do it. No cameras. There are events taking place right now in Virginia that may be setting the stage for the second American Civil War. It has to do with gun control. I'll get to that in just a minute. First, I want to go out to Ben in Michigan. He wants to talk about the Ring hacker that we covered in last segment. Ben in Michigan, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Harrison, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good, yeah. When the first commercials came out for The Ring, I just thought they were hilarious because they put the owner of the product in such a position of power and arrogance. And I'm sitting there watching it going, you're just telling the robber or the thief that you're not home.
Right.
You know, they can certainly circumvent the camera at your front door if they really want to get in there. So I thought that that was kind of hilarious. And then the disclaimer that they gave, or the quote that they gave, I wanted to just mention, this is what triggered me to call in. I just started laughing hysterically because their quote, that the statement that Ring released was basically, blah, 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 everything's fine, our security's great.
Yep.
And it's just like, after showing that, you still have the audacity to come out and say, like, everything's fine and just buy our, you know. Anyways, there's another thing that I wanted to ask you guys if you could help us out with as listeners, and that is maybe post on the website somewhere, help us out with where not to spend our money. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I think we're all aware from the, you know, the plugs and the products that we all buy and we support, we know where to spend our money. We know how to support Alex and the show and everybody there. And the products are fantastic. But tell us, help us out, because you guys have access to, I feel like, a ton of information. And I know that we do, too. And we need to be responsible for doing research ourselves. But a lot of people just want to be led to the water, and they will drink it if you put it in front of them. Just like where not to spend our money, you know, like what companies out there have an agenda where if we spend our money with them, we're working against ourselves. And then finally, finally, I had to throw this one out there because I couldn't get into the, I haven't been able to get to the war room. This debate's been going on the last couple of days about who pays for dinner, the man or the woman, when they're going out on a date with this whole equality thing. Mm-hmm. And the lens, I think the lens they're looking at it through is completely wrong. And I looked at my wife and just said, it's not about if the man or the woman pays for it. It's about who invited who. If the man asked the woman out for dinner, the man should pay for it. If the woman asked the man out for dinner, she should pay for it. And
that's true equality right there.
What's up?
That's true equality right there.
I mean, like, think about everything that you were ever, like, when you were a kid and your friend was like, hey, you want to go to this place on a vacation with us? Your parents might have sent you some spending money to get some souvenirs, but it's like, it's not like your parents said, yeah, you can go with Jimmy. And then Jimmy's parents said, okay, we're going to need like $400.
Right. It's whoever invites. Well, I wasn't aware that debate was going on, but we can get into that. You know, really what you need to do is just move to Chicago, move to Illinois. Now they let you spend EBT cards at restaurants. So who pays for it? The government does. The taxpayer does. Man, woman, it doesn't matter. The government pays for it. So you just use your EBT card in Chicago, and that solves that problem completely. Thanks so much for the call, Ben in Michigan. And, you know, you mentioned a list of where not to shop. It would be easier to do a list of where to shop, because so many of the massive corporations, they just intrinsically have these globalist ideas and these globalist ideals because they're all owned by big banks and conglomerates and just massive transnational conglomerations of all these different corporations. So it'd be easier to say who to buy from, like, hey, this company here actually isn't trying to destroy your way of life and eliminate you as a person. So give your money to them. A good rule of thumb, just buy local. Just go local. Just anywhere that has more than two locations, just don't buy from there and don't go there. And that's a pretty good rule of thumb, because any large corporation is going to be infested with globalists, as far as I'm concerned. Now, this story here. The law is the law. Virginia Democrats float prosecution National Guard deployment if police don't enforce gun control. So they've the Virginia House was lost to Democrats largely almost solely to demographic replacement. That was admitted by the New York Times. Actually, it was bragged about by the New York Times after being called a racist conspiracy theory in every other situation where right wingers actually tried to warn about this and say we need to stop immigration, legal or illegal, because it is a tool being used. It's a weapon being aimed at the American people by the Democratic Party, seeking to replace those populations with populations that are guaranteed to vote for them more, give them more power. So Virginia lost to the Democrats because of this demographic replacement. Baby butcher and blackface wearing governor Ralph Northam still in office in that state, which shows you the insanity that we're dealing with. But legal firearm owners in the state, however, have joined with their sheriffs, of course, being sort of the last line of defense to uphold the Constitution. And we really should talk more about that and about the way sheriffs need to be used and empowered and elected specifically to prevent the encroachment on your constitutional liberties. So they're joining with their sheriffs to form Second Amendment sanctuary counties, which declare the authorities in these municipalities uphold the Second Amendment in the face of any gun control measure passed by Richmond. Over 75 counties in Virginia have so far adopted the Second Amendment sanctuary resolutions in the Commonwealth, the latest being Spotsylvania County. The Board of Supervisors voted unanimously to approve a resolution declaring that county police will not enforce state-level gun laws that violate Second Amendment rights. The Virginia Democratic officials, however, say the following, quote, "I would hope they either resign in good conscience because they cannot uphold the law to which they're sworn to uphold, or they're prosecuted for failure to fulfill their oath." That's Democratic Representative Jerry Connolly to the Washington Examiner. He says, quote, "The law is the law. And if that becomes the law, you don't have a choice. You're not if you're a sworn officer of the law. You know, the law may be the law, Representative Connolly, but there is a law that supersedes that. It's called the Constitution. There's a law that supersedes that on which the Constitution is based. It's called natural law. It's called the God-given right to self-defense. So you can pass whatever law you want, Representative Connolly, but you do not get to say what liberties God has given us. And you do not get to override the Constitution because of your fear-mongering against guns. Because what you really want to do is disarm the American people so they're more easy to destroy. We know what you're up to, and thank God there are people in Virginia standing up against their destruction. Democratic Virginia Representative Donald McEachin suggested cutting off state funds to counties that do not comply with gun control measures that pass in Richmond. He says, and ultimately, I'm not the governor, but the governor may have to nationalize the National Guard to enforce the law. That's his call, because I don't know how serious these counties are and how severe the violations of law may be, but that's obviously an option that he has. Virginia AG Mark Herring blamed the numerous Second Amendment resolutions on the gun lobby. It's the gun lobby, and it's a tactic to frighten the state residents. Quote, the resolutions that are being passed are ginned up by the gun lobby to try to scare people. So we're talking about here are laws that will make our communities and streets safer. He says, quote, when Virginia passes these gun safety laws, that they will be followed, they will be enforced. Oh, it's just gun safety laws. Just give up your guns. Just disarm yourself. And if you don't, we'll send in the military to destroy you. That's what these Democrats are up to. They'll cut off the funds. They'll send in the military. They are playing with fire. And if they want to fight, they better believe they got one. God bless the Republicans in Virginia. Stand up for your rights. And if you need an extra gun by your side, if they send in the guards, give me a call. I'll be there in a jiff. All right? This is the Second Amendment. This is America. This is the Constitution. Mess with it. Find out what happens.
And now, the David Knight Show.
This is Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight today. It's the 13th of December, 2019. And I hope it's becoming clear the crucible that we find ourselves in, the decision point, the flashpoint of history that we now inhabit. You have Virginia Democrats threatening to send in the National Guard to disarm American citizens in violation of the Second Amendment. You have the Democrats in Congress running roughshod over the Constitution and attempting to impeach a president who has done nothing wrong for their own ideological imperatives. You have drag queens who are convicted felons, convicted on felony prostitution charges, being let into elementary schools and libraries to put makeup on children and tell them to have a deviant sexuality for the rest of their life. Sponsored by the school district. Okay, you have this video that we'll show later of black teens pummeling a white kid to the point of hospitalization because he's wearing a Trump hat. This And then on top of it all, you have things like Ring, which was bought by Amazon in coordination with the police departments, getting access, real-time access to surveillance nationwide, including inside your own house, available to any hacker worth his salt who can grab your exposed password from an email. This is the Orwellian dystopian hell that has been brought to you by globalists, socialists, liberals, and just idiots who have been able to run out of control for the last several decades. And the entire time this has been happening, there's been one voice calling out in the darkness. Alex Jones, for 20 years, has been warning you, this is coming down the line. You need to put your foot down now, or God knows where we might end up. Well, we're here, ladies and gentlemen. We have arrived, and we're still here warning you, it's only going to get worse. The cage is being locked. We are losing every freedom our forefathers ever fought and died for, and it's happening at an ever-increasingly rapid rate. So we're here to tell you, now is the time. Fight back while you still can, because the cage is closing, the lock is being shut, and once that happens, there's no hope for humanity. Here he is, Alex Jones, giving you the warning you need to hear.
Folks are always asking me, Alex, why do you have piles of papers in front of you? Why do you have all these big graphs and charts? Because we're doing the research. We're not playing games. And when you see those big stacks of papers in front of me every day, that's news that I've read, that I've researched, that if I need to go to it, I'll be able to on air. This is the type of research I'm doing constantly. This is just news that's been stacking up this week that's got to then be moved off the tables. I mean, look at this research from the Epoch Times. The dossier network, the actors, the entities, the relationships, Spygate, Brennan, all of it. I'm going to play a clip for you in a moment of Brennan saying, oh, you're not innocent until proven guilty. You're innocent until we think maybe you did something and then you have no rights. You're guilty. So that's guilty until proven innocent. He literally is waging war on the country. So when you look at this and the insurance policy and how they've been caught red-handed, none of this would have come out if institutions like InfoWars hadn't been on the air. Trump wouldn't have gotten elected if InfoWars wasn't on the air. And I want to explain something. This is not me taking credit. They're coming after us because of this. But it's really you that got Trump elected, and they're coming after your speech as well. So I'm just saying, we're in this together. Thank you for the support. And it's more critical than ever that we stay on the air, because this criminal network is very close to going down. And they've tried to intimidate everybody and make people shut up, but it's not been working. So I'm glad the American people haven't bowed to this bullying. Some have, but most of you haven't. But when it comes to doing your shopping with us, why in the world would you not buy high-quality products you're already going to get for yourself and your family? You should be. From InfoWars. I mean, everybody should be taking krill oil and high-quality fish oil. Everybody should be taking good iodine that's essential in the body the globalists are trying to keep away from you and give you the bad halogen fluoride. Everybody should be having high-quality protein bars. We have some of the best out there. Everybody, if you've ever taken a good nootropic, should be taking something like BrainForce. It's high-end at a low price. And that's why we've got the 12 Days of Christmas going right now to make it easy. Store-wide free shipping, double Patriot points, 10% off when you sign up for AutoShip. You can cancel for free and save 10% on that order. I don't recommend you do, because we'll go bankrupt. But we've got the 12 Days of Christmas, and we've got things like Ultra 12, highest quality B12. People love it. You ought to try it if you haven't. That's 60% off right now. Bodies Ultimate Turmeric Formula, that's 60% off. That's over 60% off, $9.95 for a colloidal silver bullet. You're not going to find better deals on things you already need. And then we're fighting the globalists and promoting freedom. So, again, just reminding you and thanking you for your past support to go to InfoWarsStore.com and do your Christmas shopping. Don't fight the big crowds. Don't fight the lines. Don't go support the big global corporations that literally hate our freedom and support all this anti-American, anti-God trash. Get presents for other people there if you're going to buy gifts. But regardless, get it for yourself at InfoWarsStore.com. And get some Patriot apparel as well to help spread the word. Now, an InfoWars shirt might get you attacked in leftist areas, but so you might want to just wear something that says, Trump's my president. Oop, that'll get you attacked as well. And that's the whole point, is we got to stand up at some point. It is dangerous to stand up for freedom. But it's more dangerous not to stand up against these people. So this Christmas, give yourself and your family the gift of freedom. and double down on spreading the word about the most informative shows that you believe are doing the best job. And if InfoWars is doing a good job in your eyes, then I'm asking you to back us again and give us your word of mouth, give us your prayer to God, and give us your financial support. And I guarantee you, I won't back down. And I give you my commitment, I'll bust my ass. Sometimes it's going to be half-assed. Sometimes I'm going to stumble and fall. But I'm doing the best I can. I know you are as well. So thank you all, and Merry Christmas.
You know, people are innocent until, you know, alleged to be involved in some type of criminal activity.
That's amazing. And folks, you know, I mean, we mention the products, we mention the sales usually at the end or the beginning of a certain segment. We rarely play full-fledged advertisements in the middle of the show. This just shows you the need that we have to continue to expand and to get your support, because everything that's happening, everything we've talked about, all of the oppression and suppression that's happening from the left, from Democrats and liberals against conservatives nationwide, it's a focused laser beam on InfoWars, and we're under attack 10 times more than any other place in the country because we stand for freedom and liberty for all. Now I want to go quickly out to this call from Sergeant in California, who has a call to action. Sergeant, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you, Harrison. It's really nice to talk to you. Really enjoy your filling in for David Knight. And if he's listening right now, God bless you, sir. And can't wait to have you back next week. Harrison, dude, we got to get more FaceTime from you, friend. Definitely got to get more FaceTime from you.
Thank you.
You're awesome. Yeah, I get pumped up every time you play your Off Limits plug. That video is so awesome, that cut, that video cut.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That is still prime. I just wanted to say that this impeachment thing that just went through the House today should really wake up every American. As a United States Marine, I'm not going to say former, because once a Marine, always a Marine. Let's just be real about it. All right. As long as I have my Second Amendment, which I do, and I have breath in my lungs, which I do, this fight is not over. My rights are not gone. And everybody needs to understand, when they see these impeachment hearings go on and the subversion of constitutional law and doctrine, everybody needs to look back into the past and even in their family's past and take note of the individuals whose blood have been spilled in foreign countries in preservation for this freedom that we have. I have lost personally, I have lost friends in battle. They have spilled their blood. Their blood now stains the sands of foreign countries.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was that moment, Harrison, that I really, really tasted what freedom tastes like.
And you know, you're exactly right, Sergeant. And not only when the Democrats run roughshod over the Constitution, you know, you're putting it perfectly. Not only are they spitting in your face, they're stomping on your vote. They're spitting on the graves of everyone who has fought and died to bring you the freedoms that they are so rapidly destroying. Fight back now. Take note from Sergeant from California, and do not give up. Do not give in. Final segment of the David Knight Show on this Friday, the 13th of December, 2019. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight. And he will be back on Monday. This is my final day sitting in for David Knight. It's been an absolute thrill and honor to be with you, the Info Warriors out there. But it's 10:47 a.m. Central Standard Time. It's time to get a little angry. It's time to get a little bit mad, because we're about to discuss what it's like for children to go to school today in modern America. Let's roll this video. This is a shock video. Black teens pummel white student over Trump hat. Startling footage has emerged from Florida, showing a white middle school student being jumped by a group of black teen girls all over a Trump baseball hat. The mother posted this video, and it's absolutely brutal. If you haven't seen it, it was all over Twitter yesterday. If you're listening on the radio, go to Infowars.com or band.video to see this video and share it around. The mother posted it saying, quote, "I'm sitting in the hospital with my 14-year-old kid because he was jumped by eight black kids on the school bus. I guess that's what happens when a kid wears a Trump hat to school. And who's the violent ones again? Earlier today, they poured milk all over his head." This is not just what happens. This is what has been sanctioned by the left. This is what has been encouraged by the left. When you have Eric Holder saying when they go low, we kick them. When you have Maxine Waters calling on people to assault and confront Trump supporters wherever they find them. There it is. American Diaries is the name of the Twitter account with a picture of the kid covering his face in the hospital, hospitalized, being beaten because of his race and because of his political affiliation. This is the road down which civil war lies. And this will not, should not, cannot be tolerated any longer. And this idea that blacks are somehow the victim of violence in America is so absurd when you look at the FBI statistics, when you look at just the videos that you find on every news site all the time, constantly, the knockout game, the just massive packs of kids in Baltimore last year on Memorial Day, just running around beating up white people based on their skin color who were doing nothing and walking by. This is getting to an intolerable level. And this is just the latest expression of absolute hate against white people and against conservatives expressed by these black middle schoolers who they don't know what the hell they're doing. These kids are clearly idiots. They don't have real deeply held political beliefs. They don't know. They're just being trained to hate by the liberals, by the people in charge, by the media. They're being told you're oppressed, you're hated, everyone hates you, white people are evil. How do you think this is going to end up? How do you think it's going to end up? So this poor kid may still be in the hospital. God knows what's wrong with him. If he has brain damage, beaten on the head by these black kids in school, it's absolutely outrageous. And yet, not even the most outrageous story from this week having to do with kids. Elementary school in Austin, Texas, invites a convicted felon drag queen to talk to children. An elementary school in Austin, Texas, inviting a convicted felon drag queen, having ignored or failed to carry out a full background check. This is on purpose. They know a background check. They know exactly what they're doing. And it's not just speculation that they know what they're doing. I went to a protest where parents, grandparents, concerned citizens were protesting against the inclusion of LGBT and transgender indoctrination into the syllabus for third graders and eight-year-olds. They were protesting. They were shouted down by trans activists who told me to my face the reason they were there was because not only do they believe that the new proposed homosexual, transsexual material being fed to second graders, third graders, eight-year-olds was good. They said they wanted it to go farther. And the reason they said is because their words, they hate Christians, they hate innocence, they want to corrupt and destroy the children. And they're the ones who are deciding what kids in schools are being taught. So this isn't an accident. This wasn't oops, a convicted felon prostitute drag queen accidentally got into the elementary school. He was chosen because he's a convicted felon. Drag queen, prostitute, transvestite. Emails between the school's librarian, Roger Grape, and Robinson, aka Miss Kitty Litter, a convicted prostitute, suggest that Robinson knew he wouldn't pass a background check and the school either ignored it or failed to carry one out. Robinson reportedly visited with the children the entire day. A video posted to Twitter but subsequently removed shows Robinson promoting an international drag festival while holding a baby doll in a baking pan in an apparent reference to the baby being food. These are the people that your children are being introduced to in elementary school, that are being touched, that are being made contact with. He was putting makeup on the children. A convicted pedophile prostitute, not a convicted pedophile. I'm sorry, I misspoke. How dare I, run in the danger of libeling this convicted prostitute transvestite? No. He's just probably. No. I'm not even going to say that. All I'm going to say is that it's a transvestite prostitute who's very interested in corrupting elementary school kids. Read into that as you will. Robinson's visit occurred after Austin schools passed a radical new curriculum that encourages children to be taught about LGBT issues at an early age. As we previously highlighted, another drag queen, Lynn Adonis, visited Willis High School in Houston, Texas. Parents complained, prompting an English teacher, Anthony Lane, to assert that parents shouldn't have the final say in raising their kids. You don't know what's good for your kids. You think what's good for your kids is to keep them innocent, is to keep them in a state of childhood until they're ready and mature enough to understand the incredible implications of sex and sexuality and hormones and all these sorts of things. You don't get to say that anymore. You don't get to decide what your kid gets to understand about the world around them anymore. Now, that has been superseded. That has been taken away from you and given to people who want to give them over to transvestite, drag queen, convicted prostitutes, to just manipulate at will. To touch and sit on their lap and touch their face and tell them that babies are evil, that they need to be castrated, that it's cool to be incapable of continuation of life through birth. This is what is being done today, less than 5 years after the legalization of homosexual marriage in this country. When Obama was elected, reelected in 2012, he was not in favor of homosexual marriage. And yet, in the few years since then, this is where we've gotten. This is the abuse being inflicted in school by officials who know exactly what they're doing it and are doing it because they think you're evil and they want to corrupt your children, because that's just how far this society has fallen. Another participant in a drag queen storytime event in Houston was 32-year-old Albert Gaza, who later turned out to be a registered sex offender who was convicted of assaulting an 8-year-old boy. So, you know what? If you want to give your kids over to the state, if you want the government to come in and take power and take over parenting responsibilities for your kids, you might as well just go drop them off at the, you know, the closest drag queen international festival where they're pretending to eat babies and children in baking pans. Houston Library apologizes after registered sex offender participated in drag queen story time. At least that was the library. At least that was just a government building that was rented out by this perverted group seeking to undermine Christianity, to destroy the innocence of children and forever leave them chemically castrated for the rest of their life when they're far too young to even understand the implications of the massive life-changing decisions that they're being told are great and fun and good for you. And not only that, that was in a library. That was a seemingly private group simply using public grounds to pervert and corrupt your children. It's beyond that now. Now it's in the elementary schools. Now the librarians of elementary schools are inviting convicted prostitutes to administer to your kids, to teach your kids, to help your kids be like them, to put makeup on them and tell them to be gay or homosexual or transvestite or whatever they feel. Oh, but it goes beyond that, because now it's in the curriculum. Now it's been passed by the school board. And who is in support of this? Not the parents of the kids, not the grandparents of the kids, not the legal guardians or anybody who has the welfare of the children in mind. It's being put forward, it's being progressed, it's being advocated for and voted on by people who actively will say to your face the reason they're doing it is they want to destroy the innocence of your children, they want to corrupt them, they want to turn them in to sex-crazed, castrated, chemical ooze that can just be exploited and destroyed for their own perverted pleasure. That is now codified into law. That is now in the curriculum and the syllabus for your 8-year-old, because some perverted transvestite shouted down anybody who dared raise an objection about what's being taught to their children. Childless, castrated transsexuals telling your children, telling you what they need to be taught and how they need to live. So, if you're not mad, you're not paying attention, ladies and gentlemen. You want to know what the real threat to humankind is? It's this. It's this transhuman, disgusting perversion of children and torturing of the innocent.